There you go, finally. Okay, what is it?
It has to do with abandonment of self and the mind, the whole mind conversation. And I went up to my office yesterday and looked down, and here you are doing crossword puzzles. I said, there's all the amusement of mind.
I do them every day.
Yeah, so it begs the question, there's the turning away from stuff of the mind, and yet you don't want to lose your mind, and you want your mind to be decent enough to be able to study and get through life. So it's like, the clarification is, what are we talking about when you abandon fantasy life?
It's talking about taking no thought for what it says. Take no thought about what you're going to eat. Take no thought about what you're going to wear. Take no thought about what you're going to do. Take no thought about your life in general. Again, this is why in Israel, in ancient Israel, there was nothing where you were a spectator. There was no drama. There were no sports. The only thing the closest to a drama was when they celebrated Purim, and that became the melodrama. And so it's no thought about you as a observer or you as a, it's about you being, about you doing. Whether or not crosswords would or should be something to be avoided, I don't know. It's never been an issue. It's just something that I do every morning. I read the paper too.
Yeah, right.
But I it has nothing to do with me, except that it's something that I do.
I always saw it as, or I've seen it as, that the predicate is, we're all perfected by one offering, and sacrifice will be finished for us on the cross. It's not very often I feel like I know what I'm talking about.
Don't hear it.
And I don't do that very often. And if we're all perfected by one offering, then I always thought of abandonment was the lack of self-condemnation or judgment, and no longer judging or condemning others, because we're all perfected by this offering. And that's, for me,
well, that's part of it.
Was the most difficult part of abandonment.
Yeah, but because that's the issue that you deal with. Let's go to Matthew 6, okay.
I think the other day when you said, I haven't thought for 34 years or whatever length of time, I think you're not referring to using your mind at all. You're referring to the kind of thought that you're talking about, taking thought or worry for yourself. Or
I think
thought.
The thought is worry. A worry type thing. Stressing. Not having.
Well, let's look at it. Let's look at it and see what it says.
Matthew
6. Verse
25.
Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat or food, and the body more than raiment or clothing? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? That one especially pursue. And why take you thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, if it offends somebody that I do crosswords, I wouldn't do them.
But take no thought, do not worry, do not fret.
It doesn't say don't worry or don't fret. It says take no thought.
Well, take no thought in this sense. What is thought here? What is take no thought?
That's what, for your life. Take no thought for your life.
It doesn't say don't think while you're doing a crossword puzzle or crossing the street.
Well, I don't know whether it does or not. That's not the point. If me doing crossword puzzles would cause somebody else to stumble, I'll stop.
Why is it whether you do a crossword puzzle or not?
Well, that's the point. I mean, I'm saying though, if it causes somebody to stumble, I'd stop.
It shouldn't cause them to stumble.
It doesn't matter whether it should or shouldn't.
Does it or does it not?
That's called, if it causes somebody to stumble, maybe they ought to step back and go and look at themselves. Not at you doing a crossword puzzle.
Well, anyway.
It wasn't a judgment. It was an observation based on.
Well, it was a valid question.
A definition of abandonment.
Yeah, it's a valid question. I think the essence is take no thought for your life.
Yeah, it's.
That because the reason for you do that is because it's the opposite of the fall. The fall, the great transgression, is self-realization, self-advancement. Now, I kind of wish I do the New York Times crossword puzzles and the daily other one that's in the paper. I do the New York Times ones Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, sometimes Thursday, almost never Friday, and Saturday and Sunday, forget it. I wished I could do the whole week, but I'm not smart enough. But again, I don't know or whether that is taken up, that falls under the take no thought. I'll leave that to the wisdom of the body. Take no thought for your life is the essence of it.
Yeah, this is such a huge part of the rock of our doctrine that.
Well, it's
got to be looked at in all forms.
Yeah, let's look at Matthew 18. No, these are the perfect kind of questions. They're not silly. All right. At that time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive such a one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned into the depth of the sea." So, except you be converted, that's step one. And become as that little child is step two. Now, how do you become as that little child? You lose the capacity for self-awareness. You lose the capacity to think that any moment we're in should be different than it is. Because that's the little child, that's the technon, the darling infant before self-awareness. So That is what in Scripture is called abandonment or total emptying. Because again, remember, it's all about his humility. That's the mystery of Christ, the mystery of God, the mystery of the Holy Spirit, and the mystery of Christ. It's the humility that one empties himself into the other. And he cannot occupy where you are. And so the emptying of self with regard to self-improvement, self-realization, self, is the key. It's, you got to remember, everything about the mystery of the doctrine has to deal with the fall. Now, that's the problem with the modern church. It doesn't even hardly recognize the fall happened.
Or why.
Yeah. And so, in that context, then, of the fall, then, again, I don't know. If I thought that was not abandonment, of course I would throw away. But I don't know. I don't think it's not abandonment.
Probably never had the thought.
I never had the thought. What happened was I went home back in the 90s before my mother passed away. And my mother didn't have any room. So anyway, I stayed with Rumpel. And he did the crosswords every morning. I had never even thought about doing them. And so then he and I had a race to see who could complete the crossword first. And he just wiped me out. And I'm sure that's part of it, why I got into crosswords. The competitiveness. It's like when I played poker with you guys. Like I did at the thing. When we went to Pentecost, I played poker. And I just about won every hand.
You had to ban you from the game.
No, I just let Liam win a whole bunch of hands at the end, and then I quit. Not because I couldn't play poker, but before when I played poker or Scrabble or any of those kind of things with Harry, and as some of you remember, when I had to win, no matter who I was playing and what I was playing. If I couldn't win, I didn't play. And that's part of the sin of my life that I had to confess and deal with.
You were the Mike Tyson of Scrabble.
Well,
poker.
No, well, actually, I was better at gin rummy. Mm-hmm. Playing a penny a point, Harry owes me $55,000.
Good job.
This is just critical, everything we're saying here, because it's, you know, just the first level of this conversation doesn't get down to the core of it. It's kind of the don't take no thought, but now get down to where is that source?
Yeah, because we got to remember the predicate for all of those kind of things is what is the fruit of the fall? Well, but the fruit in terms of you, is self-realization.
Yeah. Wanting to be equal with God.
No, not necessarily. Self-realization of any kind is the fruit of the fall. Self-awareness is the fruit of the fall. That's the biggie.
Self-awareness is the fruit of the fall.
Self-awareness is the fruit of the fall. Before the fall, there was no awareness except God and others. Self-awareness did not occur because I believe that at the fall, a critical thing happened, and that is the mind was separated between conscious and subconscious. Before the fall, there was no self-consciousness. The fall created self-awareness, which is the conscious mind. And then God gave us the illusion that we could be in control. And as I said so many times, if you think you're in control, and control the muscles that are allowing you to sit, control the enzymes that are necessary for you to digest the oatmeal, control the necessary rate of blood flowing through your body, control the enzymes and everything else that are released in your system. You can't. It's the illusion of control. It's no matter if you had, if you were the best control person in the universe, you could probably control 1 or 2% of your life.
And then the self-realization is our continuous rebellion, and
it's sin.
Well, rebellion would be.
Well, it's, but sin is a person. Rebellion is an act. Remember that.
I'm both.
Huh?
I'm both.
It's like all life activities, and I was thinking, especially of sports, control is the fundamental aim.
Sure.
And the team that has the best control of everything.
If you mention a certain team, I'm gonna turn this off and beat you with a stick.
I was really thinking of gymnastics.
No, it's really, really, it's again, let nothing, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, let nothing confuse your mind from the simplicity that is in Christ. Serpent mind. Now, if somebody makes you aware of something that you weren't aware of prior to that, that's the meaning of the preaching of the cross. And that's why the preaching of the cross causes so much hatred.
Attacks you at the
core of your being. And so, but by the same token, I'm not exempt. If you see something in me that doesn't follow this doctrine that we've been delivered into, then you need to say it.
Your hatred of sports.
Well, my hatred of anybody, everything that people that gain sustenance and satisfaction from accomplishments of others. I hate that because it's the stupidest form of idolatry there is.
That's about all that's going on in the world, is trying to get sustenance from somebody else.
Right.
And then mimic them.
All right, let's go to Luke 6. Verse 44. For every tree is known by its fruit, for of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. We'll get to figs in a little bit. Bramble bush is just a bush. And this word for grapes is, it's the bunch of ripe grapes. It's a specific word as opposed to another word, amphax, which means unripe grapes. So we're not going to worry about all that. But now in verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. The great cosmic tell in God's poker game. Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. That's why it's, let your speech be seasoned with salt. Let your speech have the component of eternity. That's what salt was for in the sacrifice. All the sacrifices had to contain salt. You understand that? All right, treasure is the word thesaurus, which is kind of interesting. It's in light of our conversation about words and crosswords. Treasure is thesaurus.
I say abundance of the heart. That abundance can be either love and light, or it can be darkness and judgment.
Yeah, and it's all one or the other. There's no in between.
And it's up to you if you're going to die to self or not.
Right, but let's look at some of the metaphors of the heart. Let's go, because heart is the store. It's the treasure. It's thesaurus. It means the storehouse.
Thesaurus
is the word for treasure. That's what
yeah,
I just said.
Yeah, I know that. I was just looking at the word thesaurus and thinking of.
It means storehouse in Greek.
Storehouse.
Yeah. So I have a great, not relatively great, I suppose, great storehouse of words. Because I was fascinated with words and what makes words words and what makes language language.
Yeah.
There's 9 hours down there of tape. A whole idea of what is language. I think I can prove, and it's not quite yet, but I'm getting close, that the original language is the alphabet came from the 12 signs of the zodiac and the 36 decans. That's where the letters came from. And each letter in the original languages represented a thing that it is. Aleph, or A, always represented the beginning. Beta, or Beth, or B, represented the container for the beginning. I mean, it goes on and on and on, but I'm not ready to talk about it yet. But it's fascinating to me that and each one of those letters, when it was one of the letters, like Alpha represented X, Aries. Beta represented Taurus, the bull, because original letters looked like the bull. And on down. And then when it got past the 12, then two letters represented the thing that were from the signs of the zodiac. And this was originally, the original alphabet was invented by Seth. And then it was because before that there was no writing, there was only the speech. And then the original it was invented by Seth, but it was perfected by Enoch, the one who's God translated. And then it was then passed down to Abraham through Shem. Why did I start that? Because now I want to... Never mind, we're not going to start there. Treasure is what we're talking about.
Well, that's part of the treasure.
That's the treasure. Again, remember, God, this is so critical. Let's go to Genesis 2 a minute, since we're talking about storehouses and treasures. Does this interest anybody? Genesis chapter 2. And verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now in Hebrew it says, "In the day that thou eatest of it, in dying thou shalt die." Which is an interesting turn of the word. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." Companion antagonist. Anybody know about companion antagonists?
Today's my anniversary.
What?
Today's my anniversary. Oh. I know a lot about it.
God, I remember your first weeks.
Unbelievable. I was so shocked. I couldn't grasp it all.
And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called everything, every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. Now again, you've got to hear this. without naming, if God hadn't required Adam to name the names, he could not have fallen. Do you understand why?
Why?
Names gave him the possibility of seeing separation. If I didn't name it, I wouldn't know there was separation.
Or
this is why, huh?
Or differentiation.
Or differentiation, or ranking, or anything. Now this is this fruit of the fall, it was necessary for the test. Adam and Eve were created, made innocent, without self-awareness. But for the test, so that innocence could be transformed into holiness by antagonism, God doesn't want innocence, he wants holiness. What is holiness? It's tested innocence. That's why we just read the thing in Matthew. Except you be converted and become as that little darling infant, innocent, etc., 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 you shall know as enter the kingdom of heaven. What? Mr. Bojo? You had a quizzical look.
Sorry.
Well, don't be sorry. All right. So then, now, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and took out one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which God, Lord God, had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Because neither one of them had cell phones.
I'm so ashamed.
You should be.
Well, they didn't have any pockets to put their cell phones in.
But they weren't ashamed of it.
Yeah.
Okay, then, so right after the naming came the fall. Which is, to me, just critical in our understanding. You have the quizzical look now.
This whole language thing, from that point till now, to the crossword puzzles, to treasure, to the expanding of all of the information you gather to come back to the one point of the essence of what the gospel is all about. I mean, it's all there for one purpose, and it's this one. And at this point, the way I see it, you that's what you abandon of all. You throw away everything because God cannot be defined. And I believe part of our reason for getting all our language is to better define him, but we can't capture him with our words.
We can't capture spirit.
Can't capture spirit. So at some essential point, you forget everything, you are abandoned or reckon it.
Give it no thought.
Value that you might perfectly see the one who can't be seen.
Right, because that's really the meaning of repentance.
Yeah, because there you're in him.
Holy, can we read the next 8 verses?
Let's do it tomorrow because we're out of time. Will you remind me in the morning?
Yes.
The bottom line, and when you get down through the back to the 8th verse, and verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the field. The Lord God called unto him, Adam, and he said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee thou wast naked? That's the great eternal question. So how did we get to Genesis from good treasures of his heart? It was because
crossword.
No, it's because thesaurus.
Thesaurus.
The meaning of treasure. The word for treasure.
The road less traveled
today. So what did thesaurus have to do with Genesis 2?
Because it's the thesaurus in our language is the body of words and synonyms.
Yeah, that is fabulous. Because that's what we. That's
I'm not sure it's fabulous, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's fabulous.
Take it, big guy.
It's awesome.